16 Candles is the first John Hughes teen film and the first film he directed. He introduced us to his muse, Molly Ringwald, and finally proved that the teen sex comedy could be about more than sex, that teenagers have complicated emotions, that they want to be seen, to be heard, and to be loved.
John, I'm a little tired of Molly at this point. I love her, but the lip bites, I'm over it.
This is 80s Movie Guide.
A guide to what's wrong with your parents. I'm Riley Roberts.
And I'm Tara McNamara. 16 Candles is about high school sophomore Samantha Baker, whose entire family forgot her 16th birthday in the wake of her sister's wedding.
And for the rest, and just women getting assaulted for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what it's really about is... is how easy it is to, you know, sexually assault a woman. Exactly. I mean, it really is almost laying out how to do it.
Yep.
There's so much, like when we started this podcast, this is the reason why.
Yeah.
16 Candles checks all the boxes for what's wrong with your parents.
I wasn't allowed to watch this movie. If you don't remember,
yeah.
Me and my older brother were not allowed to watch this movie.
And now you know why. That was called good parenting. Yeah, it's really shocking. I mean, it's got racism and, you know, some language that's like you're just cringing at, misogyny.
Well, some homophobia.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Outright
misogyny,
rape,
sexism, rape
culture. Yeah, all of that.
That's what we should be calling it now. Don't call it rape when it comes to movies. Call it rape culture because that's what it's based off of.
Right, but I think this film is proving how rape culture exists and what it leads to. I mean, that's if we want to jump right into it, then let's go there.
First of all, I've been seeing a lot of things on, especially like TikTok, obviously, but I've always kind of seen this around social media where people say, when I have a daughter or I have a child, I will let them know that nobody can touch you without your consent, and that includes family members.
Yeah.
And I saw that through this when literally in the first 5 minutes, her grandma is grabbing her boobs and saying her boobies grew in.
She's gotten her boobies.
Oh, I'd better go get my magnifying glass.
No, don't make jokes about you looking at your granddaughter's breasts.
Right.
I think that's a little rapey, a little creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. It is, for sure. I mean, this is part of it. I mean, this is part of the misogyny that exists. I mean, not that the grandparents are being misogynistic, but it's more about this idea of what you have to look like to be a woman. You know, that's permeates. Again, this written by a man that who we've grown to respect, you know, but he... Well, I mean, we did, and now I think we're pulling it back a little bit because, you know, he the focus is so much on her breast size. It starts with her... No, it's one thing if you're a teen girl and you're looking at yourself and you're like, oh, I'm 16, you know? I mean, I was waiting to get my boobs. When you're a teen girl, you are waiting to get your boobs, you know?
But I don't need my elder family members telling me about it or adding on to the subject.
No, and so now I think culture today is like, hey, we all, you know, we got our body, you got what you got, love what you got, you know, and there's less of a measuring stick, at least from the parenting perspective. That's what we hope, and that's the kind of things we're trying to create in our society, but it was not there in the 80s. I mean, it was not. I mean, this is, by the way, this is pre everybody getting a boob job, right? This is, so we're just, she's somehow less than because her Brock size is, you know, less than, I guess, you know, and I just like, even when the geek talks to Jake Ryan at the dance and he says, you know, what do you know about her? And she's like, oh, you know, smallish tits, nice voice.
Smells good.
Yeah. I mean, that still when he's asking about her, he only hits her
physical features.
Right. Not about who she is and what kind of person she is. And it really is fascinating.
I mean, that's what men seek, especially at this time when they're looking for a wife, if that's what we're talking about with the elderly age or the older age of the 80s, where people are just looking for wives and kind of not really.
Yeah, if, well, let's
they experiment till 25, and then they're like, okay, where's my wife, you know? And,
yeah,
and what do they look at? They look at the features. They don't look at the personality. They're like, okay, is this woman going to clean for me? Yes. Is she beautiful? Is she good to look at? Yes. Can I have sex with her whenever I want? Yes. Would I make cute babies with her? Yes. Okay.
That's all you need. You check the boxes. Exactly. No, and we'll take a quick left turn from misogyny to go into the older sister's marriage, which is, I'm getting married. He loved me for 6 straight months. This is the one. And then, you know, he's a bohunk. By the way, bohunk was not a word. Just
I
so
have
you
no
know,
idea what that
nobody,
means.
Nobody used that word.
I feel he was trying to say, like, kind of like a hunk, but like kind of like a scammer. Like a hobo. A hobo, but hot.
Yeah.
A scam artist, but like, yeah, he could be attractive.
I don't know that he was supposed to be a scam artist. I just thought, I think it was supposed to
be. I think they were trying to be like Italian. The father was telling him, like, if you ever need stuff with stocks, if you ever need.
Right.
That, at that time, that was Wall Street times. That's scam artist time period, right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there was like a money involved in whatever bohunk was supposed to mean, but I'm just letting you know, we didn't know what it meant. It was. But she likes him because we're supposed to get the idea that there is some money, that she's getting married, and the goal is to be married, right? That's the goal. And we see that with Caroline, right? Caroline's talking to Jake at the dance and says, oh, you know, I can't wait, you know, we're going to be married and we're going to have this great life. And, you know, that's what Caroline sees. She's planning to get married. And so that does seem to be the idea, but that's not what's on Jake Ryan's mind. That's not what's on Farmer Ted's mind. That they're about just having sex with women and, you know, that's their purpose. And so, you know, you see that conversation, and this is where we really start to get into the misogyny, where he says, oh, you know, is she with you? And, right, I mean, and so Farmer Ted apologizes and says, oh, is she yours? Like, she's a property to own.
Object.
And then says, well, she'll come home with me if my dad will let her, as if he can control that and she
that
doesn't
was
have
funny,
a say.
Though. Well, that was funny. Like, well, I know Jake, when Jake, after he left, Jake was like, what the heck? But I know that Jake said that just because he was like, you're going to ask your father's permission to screw a girl.
Right. No, that was
the funny part about it.
That was funny. I mean, the idea is obviously he's not cool, but, and I think that's part of why John Hughes thinks he can get away with him speaking like he does about women.
Or attacking Molly's character twice in 5 minutes.
Right.
Just because she said it's okay doesn't mean that you can go and try and force yourself upon her again.
Right, right. I mean, this is part, well, I let's look at that then. So I want to make sure we stay on our misogyny trail, but part of this
is...
No,
we're on the same trail.
that this is about, you know, this idea that I'm just going to jump on you. I mean, he's constantly, she keeps telling him, I'm not interested in you, go away. She's not unclear. She's not sending mixed signals to Farmer Ted from the beginning.
Farmer
she lets
Ted.
Him
Ooh.
She lets him know that she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. She's not interested, right? And so I don't know how he finds her in shop, you know, in the half-built car. She leaves him and he still follows her and still has this conversation. So after he twice tries to get on her, she is the one apologizing to him. She's the only one. She says, oh, I'm sorry.
Internalized misogyny.
I don't want you to feel bad. And, you know, then he gets on her again. No, not like that, you know, but this idea that
we should care about men's opinions or their ego.
Well, that we need to sympathize with a guy who is harassing this woman. And
no, I mean, she's comforting his ego. That's what she's doing. Be like, well, don't feel bad that I didn't want you. Other girls are going to want you, just not me. Well, no, why don't you just say, go, like, screw off to something else. Get away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's literally
she didn't need to tolerate
her.
Any of that. So she's having a conversation. He's kind of listening to her, so she's getting something, but he's sharing. And when he's sharing to her, he says, well, I got to tell you my big secret. I've never bagged a babe. I mean...
Well, he says that to try and get her to sympathize with him even more. Well, that's why he says that.
He does, but I'm saying that's the way guys. It's the way guys talk about and treat women. That it wouldn't be, you know, I haven't found that special someone. I haven't, you know, it's like, no, I haven't bagged a babe. Like as if he's a hunter and that he's, you know, it's a conquest that he's going to throw over his shoulder, as we see Jake do later with Caroline, you know, that it's just an animal or something that you would capture, not something you care about, not someone you want to get to know, not that it's an experience. Like, that's just what it is.
Right.
I could get a piece of ass anytime I want. Shit, I got Caroline in the bedroom right now, passed out cold. I could violate her 10 different ways if I wanted to.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. She's beautiful and she's built and all that. I'm just not interested anymore.
Does that really matter, Guy?
Yeah, it matters. She's totally insensitive. Look what she did to my house. She doesn't know shit about love. All I think she cares about is partying. I want a serious girlfriend. Somebody I can love. That's gonna love me back. Is that psycho?
It's beautiful, Jake. You know, I think a ton of guys feel the same way as you do.
Really?
Yeah, it's just they don't. They don't have the balls to admit, you know what I mean? I mean, they're just, they're wimps. Samantha is, she's really special, you know?
Make a deal with you. Let me keep these. I'll let you take Caroline home. But you gotta make sure she gets home. You can't leave her in some parking lot somewhere, okay?
Jake, I'm only a freshman.
So? She's so blitzed, she won't know the difference.
Jake, I don't have a car.
You can take mine.
Jake! I don't have a license.
I trust you.
And at the end of the day, we know that's a bad thing. But one of the things I would like to just, I'll just give him a little points for this, is that the person mainly doing that and saying stuff like that is the freshman. Mm-hmm. And we know Jake Ryan's a douche. We know that.
No, from we don't. We don't. He is the hero. He is the romantic hero.
See, that's what I'm saying. But even though we can catch on to his douchiness, that's what I mean, catch on to it. Like, he's the popular, probably football, can throw parties at his rich parents' house, like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. He's probably a douche. Like, that's probably what he is. And we catch on to that. But the fact that this older guy, he, even though he's supposed to be probably an 18-year-old, he feels more like a 23-year-old to us. And he says that he wants someone to love, and he wants someone to love him. Mm-hmm. And that's why we like him, because he says something, and then the freshman goes, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys just aren't, they're not mature enough to say that and to actually want that and to not be afraid of what other people are going to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think is good, is because they're showing like, okay, well, immature little boys do this. Men, mm-hmm. quote unquote, even though he's 18, but we presume him as a man because of how big he is and how muscular he is and how hot he is. Men are going to want you a wife and are actually going to want you for you.
Well,
even though that might not be the case, I do like that that's the kind of outcome that they give off. Because, yeah, the freshmen are the one who want to steal the panties. They're the one that wants to bag the girl and all this. Jake Ryan, even though this is, once again, a douchey sentence, one of the douchiest sentences I've ever heard, and another rape culture sentence, is, I got a broad who's so lit, I could violate her in 10 different ways if I wanted to.
Right, right.
But I don't want to, because I want someone to love. Not because I respect women.
No.
But because I want someone to love and to love me back, and she doesn't. But he does give, not backing him up or anything, but he does say, she did this to my house. She doesn't care about my feelings. She does this. And I do like that aspect as well.
Right.
To where they can show men, because I feel like men don't really know. Like, I know a lot of guys that are dating bitches, like full-blown, not nice girls, like Like, we love girls for girls. We love backing women up. But there are some girls out there we all know are bitches.
Yeah.
And I always see them with boyfriends.
Right.
Guys don't know when to depict whether they should love someone because of what they're doing or not, or whether they're, you know, or whether they're controlling them.
Yeah.
And so I think that was good to know, like, he showed she doesn't care about my feelings. She doesn't care about my house. She doesn't care whether I get in trouble or not.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't with me the entire night. She was just out getting drunk with her friends.
Okay, I hear you, and I think that is exactly why this movie is the mind trick, which is the nice way to say what I want to say, that it is. It's exactly that, because it gives you this moment, and this is why people are like, oh, look at John Hughes, you know, teen boys have complex feelings.
And we don't back up John Hughes at all.
but listen, I want to really examine this, okay? Because, you know, it's the idea is supposed to be, as you laid out, that the geek, which is a word that was much more negative then than it is now, or Farmer Ted, is an unlikable character. So all the things he says and the way he speaks about women and the way he, like, gets Sam's underwear and then sells tickets to it, and all of this is supposed to mean, well, this is an unlikable character, right? And so we get that. We don't want to be like him. We're not going to imitate him. But I'm like, but then you have to go, but is he? Because in the end, he gets what they set up as the prize. They set up that Caroline is the most beautiful and popular girl in school, and that she's actually, besides what Jake is unhappy with throwing the party, a kind person, right? We see her as Sam is, you know, she doesn't need to know a sophomore. You're a senior. You don't know a sophomore. Sophomore sitting alone. She says hi, you know.
I was going to say that. She does do that. She's not a mean girl.
No, she's not. And so she's just, so they've kind of set her up to be, she's very aspirational. And that's who the geek winds up with. So I want to rewind a little bit. And when I do, I want you to flash back to the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, and I want you to think about how Christine Blasey Ford described the judge's actions and how Brett Kavanaugh defended himself, saying his school was trying to be like Animal House, Caddyshack, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, because these films, and 16 Candles among them, were highly influential in telling kids how they should behave, what was acceptable, and what was, you know, expected. What was accepted? What was expected? Okay, so I want to really think about this. Here's the setup. Caroline is deeply in love with Jake, okay? They've been dating monogamously for years. She's talking about their plans to get married, right, at the dance. She wants to have a party at Jake's house while his parents are out of town. He isn't gung-ho about it, but he is passive. He lets it happen. He can put his foot down. It doesn't have to happen.
Right.
So the idea, I think, is this happens. They do this.
Right.
They're the most popular couple in school. It's kind of their thing to have to throw the parties to entertain them. And that is part of what she sees as her role as the wife. I'm the social coordinator. You know, this is what we do.
Hostess.
So, right. So she's there at the party. She, you know, remember, hey, Jake, you know, everybody, this is Jake. And Jake, this is everybody. Right. She doesn't think she's done anything wrong. He doesn't, you know, he's not thrilled. He's walking around the party. He's not throwing people out. And it's not because, and why is he mad at Caroline? He kind of says, well, she doesn't respect his parents' house. But we see that he doesn't respect his parents' house. He doesn't respect his dad's Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plenty of things he doesn't respect. So that's a false argument. Okay, so Caroline gets blitzed. She thinks she's in a safe space to do that. She's not driving anywhere. She's at her long-term boyfriend's house, surrounded by her friends.
Hmm.
There's no reason for her to suspect that she could be vulnerable to danger. The opposite, right? There is no safer environment for her to get drunk. But it's her longtime boyfriend, Jake, in a moment of whimsy, you know, just swaps her for a pair of girls' underwear that he's told her Samantha's. He doesn't even know if they're Samantha's underwear. Just some guy that he just met that day. He never knew Farmer Ted before that day. He just met him hours ago.
And side note, Samantha is just turning 16, and I'm assuming this man is 18 or older.
Well, you can be 2 years. You can be 2 years. I think it does pass that test.
Oh, really?
I think it passed that test. Okay. But
this it says the woman who called it statutory rape when I had a boyfriend 1 year older than me.
What you didn't know didn't hurt you. Okay.
I knew, and I said, he's not even 18. He wasn't even 18. He was 17. And you were still calling it statutory
rape. Man, when you're a parent, you use what you can. All right. No. We count on your ignorance.
No, don't say 2 years is fine. 2 years is fine, Riley. I don't know where you're coming
from. I'm just saying legally, I think as far as an audience is concerned, he is in high school, and when you're, I think that's
the But role. That's still gross. That's I looked still, it up. No, sure. No, okay. But when you're in high school, uh-huh. and there's a senior going after a freshman or sophomore,
yeah.
That is gross, and that senior is labeled as gross. There are so many people that were like 13 or 14 having like an 18-year-old boyfriend, yeah. And they didn't think anything of it, and they were like, wait, I'm 18 now, and I realize there is so much of a difference between an 18 and a 13-year-old mentality, which makes those men pedophiles. This girl literally just turned 16. Just turned. So she's 15. Mm-hmm. She's just becoming a sophomore, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this guy's like, I need to have her underpants.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it makes more sense for Farmer Ted. That's stupid. Freaking nickname, first of all. He's not a farmer, and I don't understand it.
It was super weird. I don't know what that was about.
But it makes more sense for Farmer Ted to be wanting her underpants.
Well, he did. He did initially, right?
No, I know he did, but I'm just saying that it makes more sense for him to want it because he's literally a child, and he's just trying to see what's going on with women. And
no, he's trying to prove himself to be... He's trying to prove himself a stud.
I'm not saying he respects women. I'm not saying he respects them. I'm just saying that's what freshman boys do. All the like the way that they prove themselves mm-hmm. is by like bagging a chick. That's the way they prove it. And I wish it was different, but it's not, and I don't think it ever will be.
But the thing that I thought would really rile you up, and then is the fact that so why is he doing it? He's lying about he's pretending that he had a sexual experience with this woman. He lies to everybody about it, right? She played, I don't know why.
She didn't, but...
But we don't know what she knows, because when she found out that he was selling tickets, right, she was like, what? So she didn't know what he was going to do with it. He went around and lied and told everyone that they had sex.
But she knew that.
I don't know that she knew that.
No, he said, I made a bet with my friends that I would have sex with you. And she went, and he said, but there's a way that I can prove it without... Yeah. Actually getting physical.
Right.
And she said, okay. And she gave him her underpants. I don't want to victim blame or anything like that, because that's not what I'm doing.
Oh, I'm not
but
victim blaming.
I am saying she did give him her she gave him willingly her underpants. He didn't take it off her. He just said, this is the way that I need proof. And which he wasn't lying. They said, if you bring back her underpants as proof, we will believe you.
Yeah.
That's literally what they said. So...
Yeah, so the thing I
she
think where
did
I'm,
that was on her.
Well, it is and it isn't. If you say, okay, you can go tell your friend, but then he went and he sold tickets to the entire freshman class, contingency,
but
she didn't know that.
I mean, okay,
that was
we're not told this is, but if we're going off the scene here, we don't know in particular. We don't know, but in the scene. He didn't say, I banged the chick. He didn't say, these are so-and-so's underwear. He didn't say any of that. He was being a weirdly entrepreneur.
Oh,
and yes, I know it's not good. I'm trying not to defend him. But the thing is he never said, from our awareness,
right.
He never told everybody he banged a chick. He never told everybody whose they were.
Right.
His two best friends knew.
Right. I mean, how would you feel if your underwear was getting passed around the entire freshman class?
Oh, for sure. That's not a good thing. I'm not defending it, but I'm not saying... But
okay, I'm just...
She did give him the underwear willingly after knowing he said he was going to use it as proof. And she also... He said, let me borrow it for 10 minutes. And then she left the dance. She could have waited 10
yes.
minutes and gotten her underwear back.
Right.
That is on her. He like, I am not the... You know I'm not the person to defend a man. I don't like men, and they're usually wrong. But here, she did leave the dance without her underpants. That stuff, that is probably going to be passed around. Yes.
Okay. All right.
If you don't grab your belongings before you go, someone will take it.
Okay.
That's a high school thing. It's okay. Universal.
So I similarly have no room to defend Jake Ryan, but I do want to say I think his obtaining her underwear was about giving it back to her, being respectful, or getting them off the market,
right,
or whatever. But the way he does it is not acceptable.
Yes,
and I want to, and this is the point. So he says before this offer about swapping the underpants for Caroline, right? He tells Ted that Caroline is passed out upstairs and I could violate her in 10 different ways if I wanted to. The geek's response is, well, what are you waiting for? Right? She's passed out cold.
Yeah.
She has no awareness of what's going on. She can't consent. And we get right here and there rape culture.
Rape culture.
Two guys who are not friends, who met hours ago. They don't know what each other's about. You know, on the same page. Date rape is acceptable. She doesn't need to be conscious. She's there for the taking. So then, without her knowledge or consent, Jake takes poor Caroline out of the safety of, you know, his bed, I think is where he said she was, slings her over his shoulder, and puts her in his dad's car with a stranger to her. And incidentally, if you picked up on it, a minor who's too young to drive, and we see has been drinking. He was just drinking, making a martini and drinking it beforehand. And then, you know, once he gets to the car, you know, there's a Farmer Ted pushes back a little bit again of like, I'm driving a Rolls Royce now. I don't even have a driver's license. That's okay. You'll be fine. Just get her out of here. Right. Like, that's how little she means to him after all of this time. We're supposed to think because she had a party at the house like that.
Yeah, but that,
she somehow deserves this.
Yeah. No.
And then
who's he?
That's me.
Who are you?
I'm him.
Oh. Okay.
He's totally gone. Have fun.
And so, then he says, have fun. Like, he says, okay, here you go. Have fun. And the way he says it, you know, totally indicates that he knows what he's telling Ted to go do and what's acceptable in his world, right?
And after he's there in the church, she then says, apologizes.
Yeah.
For her going with another guy.
Right.
Even though he apologized for even letting, he said, I'm sorry I let you go with that guy. And she's like, I'm sorry it happened.
Yeah.
Why are you sorry it happened? He took advantage of you.
Right. Exactly. And Jay, you know, he says, I'm sorry I got you mixed up with him. And it's like, yeah, like she should be furious, but we'll get to how they turn it around in 1 second. Cause I still have more to vamp here on the lead up to that moment. Because after he says, have fun in a winky way, you know, what happens? Like, first Ted's kind of pushing back, and then she's in his lap, and she says, I love you, right? We have the whole thing where Jake says, oh, you know, who's this? And he goes, oh, that's me. Well, who's he? I'm him. And so you can follow the logic right, however you want, but the idea is Caroline thinks that Jake is driving her. So again, she's with her boyfriend. She's in a safe environment. She puts his head in his lap and says, I love you. And then Ted looks at the camera and says, this is getting good. And so what does Ted do then? Is Ted doing anything responsible? No, he's got to go get his status checked, right? He goes to his friend's house, has to prove to them that he's got the prom queen and a Rolls. He wants photographic evidence so he can now brag to everybody that he bagged the prom queen. That's the message he's going to send.
Yep.
Even if he doesn't use the words, that's the innuendo though. That's the implication. And then they continue driving, right? And then they wake up in the morning and we have all of that, right? And so we're supposed to think that conversation that Caroline has with Ted when they wake up, who are you? You know, how did I get here? And she's irritated.
And then we're
at the beginning, she's irritated. She's like grossed out. She knows that she slept with him. She's just like, it's kind of like almost walk of shamey in a way.
And then he said, but did you like it? And she goes, I think I might have.
Right.
Misogynist.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just, it's men writing for women as if, I mean, because the thing is we're supposed to forgive Ted because he was drunk and doesn't remember doing it.
Right.
So that's supposed to be his out. But we never see him get blitzed. We nope. So he's been drinking, so he shouldn't be driving, and he doesn't have a license, so he shouldn't be driving. But, you know, when did he get so drunk that he can't remember, but she, who we know was smashed out of her mind. And by the way, when he takes her to the friend's house, what does he do? He's giving her more to drink. So she's already blacked out and passed out, and now he's just throwing more alcohol down her throat. And so then he's like, oh, you know, his first question is, did I like it? His first question isn't, how are you? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Are you okay? Yeah. Here we are in the middle. We're by your church. You know, this must be humiliating. It's like, did I like it? And then she's like, yeah. He's like, did you like it? Oh, well, actually, I think I did. Even though I can't remember anything, I have this notion that even though you just had sex without my knowledge or my consent, that the whole thing's right. All good. And then that allows her. Then she goes over to Jake, who really should be, you know, I mean, this is like sex trafficking. They should be facing charges. And she instead is apologetic, like you said, and, you know, is the one that breaks up with him and makes him feel like it's okay. And so I kind of want you to understand this, that women are sort of taught, and you see it here, that we're supposed to be the ones that, like, make everyone feel okay. When Sam's parents forget her birthday, she's mad. She never says anything to them. And then as they slowly remember and apologize, she's like, oh, it's okay. I'm over it now. You can feel okay about that. I don't blame you. You're fine. You had so much on your mind, Mom and Dad. It's okay. I mean, so girls this age are being taught in life, or else they wouldn't put it in the script, and it wouldn't be realistic. And then we're getting that reiterated to us in the movies, that it's up to us to make everyone feel okay about their bad choices and the way they're hurting us. But we absorb it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and we've got to just be resilient and move on. And so at the same time, with all of this that we see with the way that Jake and the geek talk and the way that they're treated, is that girls grew up believing that their value is their killer bod, as we kept hearing, you know? Yeah. I mean, even the girls are looking
who's
at
built.
Oh, and by the way, how did you like that? They get the nude scene of Caroline, not this time through a peephole, but by
the girls being in the
Sam locker. And Randy peering around the corner to gawk at Caroline's awesome body. And then at the same time, what are guys learning? I mean, guys are learning from this. They're learning that their goal as men, to be a man, you have to have sex with women. You know, like the more beautiful the woman, the more you are successful. The more that other people will revere you, right? Because that's what Ted's going for. He's going for his tribe of geeks to revere him because he is their leader. I mean, it really is alarming and gross.
Yep.
And, you know, for anyone who says, oh, it's just a movie, get over it. It's like, it's not, because this film is
one of the biggest movies of all time.
It was a pop cultural phenomenon, and it you know, it's something that teens and tweens, like 10-year-olds, I mean, at this point, in 1984, 10-year-olds were watching this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. You think their parents were, I mean, I guarantee you right now there's parents who are letting their 10-year-olds watch this, and probably not discussing it and talking about it. And Jake Ryan and Caroline are the most aspirational couple ever. So you're watching this, you want to be them. And then again, you know, we go to even the geek in the end gets the girl. So yeah. Everybody winds up with a happy ending when really they don't all deserve a happy ending. It's just how we can feel okay about it.
What's happening, hot stuff?
His name is Long Duck Dong.
What?
Long Duck Dong. He came down with Grandma and Grandpa Baker. He's an exchange student that's living with them.
Yeah, well, he's totally bizarre.
He is not. He is a very sweet boy.
I just hope you burn the sheets and mattresses after he leaves.
Shall we talk about racism?
Yeah,
now?
Racism. That's next.
Yeah.
Long Duck Dong.
Yes. They don't let a moment of Long Duck Dong go by
without racism.
No, they camera at home every time with a gong.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, they use terms like Chinaman, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a Chinaman.
They were so borderline racist. It was crazy.
I don't think it was borderline. I think it was well over the line.
It was over the line, but you know what I mean? To where she was like, oh, the weird Chinese guy.
I don't suppose it makes any difference to you, but there's a very weird Chinese guy up in Mike's room.
And just to drive home how, you know, the guy from China is a freak or is scary even.
Yeah.
You know, he answers the door at Jake Ryan's party,
mm-hmm.
Long Duk Dong does. And then the two geek friends, John Cusack and the other one, right, they jump back. And they're afraid. They're not going to go inside. And Ted has to say, no, it's okay. He's just from, you know, he's a foreigner. It'll be all right. He's not going to hurt you. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What was that?
Why are you scared?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, your racism is like, oh, you know, you look different from me. So I can't, I'm terrified to enter the house. I mean, you know, it really is off the charts.
Oh, sexy girlfriend! Manzai!
He's Chinese. The whole idea that he's Chinese is what's freaking everyone out. Mm-hmm. And then the actor who plays him is actually Korean. and then they play the song Turning Japanese, and Long Duk Dong screams Banzai as he falls from a tree, blitz out of his mind. Banzai is a Japanese phrase. So it's like, you know, that's super offensive that you can't get your
facts right,
your ethnicity straight. But it's his Asianness that makes him a joke, and he's a pervy joke at that.
Yeah.
The idea is, you know, and then there's this other part that's like mean to women about how the girl who's tall and athletic isn't attractive to anyone at her school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's got to have, in this story, the weird foreign guy,
yeah,
right? Because she can't get, you know, a white Caucasian guy, which we know that matters, because what happens when Sam and Andy and Randy are talking, right?
Since I was about 12, I've been looking forward to my sweet 16. You know, a big party, a band, tons of people, and a big Trans Am in the driveway with a ribbon around it, and some incredibly gorgeous guy that you meet like in France. You do it on a cloud without getting pregnant or herpes.
I don't need the cloud.
I'm just a pink Trans Am and the guy, right?
A black one.
A black guy?
A black Trans Am, a pink guy.
A black guy? No, a pink guy. But a pink guy? That's weird. Why aren't they calling him a white guy?
Well, because they're playing on the idea, but their reaction, like, a black guy? Oh, no, never a black guy. I mean, so they make it clear, like, oh, that's gross. Yeah. We would never do that. It's just like... And then the Italians, by the way. I mean, I guess it could be a little bit of that Animal House thing where they're just offensive to everybody, because while the families are meeting at dinner, they play the Godfather music, right? Yeah. The idea is if you're Italian, you're in the mob, and that's what they're playing off of. That's the whole thing with the money, is the implication that they're connected to the mob.
Yeah.
And then one of the, I think the grandpa calls them an oily bohunk. So again, that's saying something negative about being Italian.
Yeah.
So there's just like, I mean, so the racism is just kind of like all over the place here.
Yeah.
It's you know, equally offensive.
I didn't see any black people in this movie.
No, neither did I. Mm-hmm. And that is
John Hughes.
That is a John Hughes hallmark, is the lack of diversity, and at least positively portrayed diversity in these films. And then I did notice that, you know, as you said, they say faggots and call each other faggots as a derogatory term, and retarded, mm-hmm. which unfortunately was something people said in the 80s very insensitively. Well, this, you know, 16 Candles is, like we said, the worst of the worst, or the worst of the best, however you want to look at it.
It's
one
so
of the best
weird.
80s movies. It is what is so rad about 80s movies and what is so wrong at the
yes.
same time. But I do also think it's interesting if you pay attention to the trajectory of John Hughes films, this is his first teen movie. And again, you know, and we actually haven't dived into it as much as I wanted to, of just how awful some of these teen sex comedies were. You still haven't seen a fraction of them. And there were so many, and they were all over the place. And they were all very one-dimensional characters that were only interested in sex. So if you're thinking about well, maybe that's what you had to do to sell the movie, you know? And then he got some complexity of emotion in there and some revelation that, you know, something like having the boy that you like return, you know, like you back. There was maybe something there, because if you get to some kind of wonderful...
That's a fantasy.
Right. But I'm just saying, if you get to some kind of wonderful, if you start going through his films, Breakfast Club, a lot more about complexity of emotions, although problematic. Pretty in Pink, more complexity of emotions in a different way, also some problematic parts. And then, you know, Ferris Bueller, then and we get some kind of wonderful. I mean, he actually only did these films for 4 years. It was a span of 4 years that he made these teen films. And then he got out of it. Then he moved on. He made She's Having a Baby, which was more reflective of his own life. And then he started making kids' films. But anyway, this is 80s Movies.
I got into What's Wrong With Your Parents. I'm Riley Roberts.
And I'm Tara McNamara. You can follow us on Instagram,
Twitter,
Facebook, @80s Movie Guide.
Or go to our website,
80smovieguide.com. It's that easy. Thanks.